Welcome to the monthly Three Edge View from the Edge for July of 2026. I'm Fritz Foltz, Chief Investment Strategist here at Three Edge, and joining me here as he does every month is Eric Biegeleisen, our Director of Investment Research and Deputy Chief Investment Officer here at Three Edge Asset Management. And today, Eric and I will provide our first most recent outlook for the global capital markets, which is based on our proprietary Three Edge research model. Have a lot to get to today, so let's get started. And to begin, Eric, maybe you could just get us caught up, you know, a brief summary of what transpired in the first 6 months of the year, and then you can take a look at the asset class matrix to see what may have changed. So over to you.
Yeah, thanks, Fritz. You know, with the half of the year now in the rearview mirror, we've seen a meaningful dispersion in asset class performance, which is a good reminder of the importance of diversification in one's portfolio. We've seen U.S. and Japanese and emerging market equities gaining between 10 and 25% so far this year, while European and Indian and Chinese equities have generated losses so far this year. Gold and intermediate term treasury bonds also negative on the year, while commodities rose around 20% on the heels of the war and the closure of the Strait of Hormuz. You know, this U.S.-Israel-Iran conflict initially caused energy prices to spike. However, the recent de-escalation led prices falling back near to the pre-conflict levels, though now it appears the ceasefire is being just outright abandoned at this point. So, you know, the narrative, though, that's been emerging is this resumption of the pro-growth AI and AI-related trade really across the globe. Take a look at this chart here. It shows calendar years 2020 through the first half of 2026. And in the dark blue, we see the average daily buying when the S&P 500 was up. And in the light blue, next to it, we see the buying when the S&P 500 was down. And so far in 2026, the buy the dip behavior is excessively high, suggesting investors just don't want to miss out and will use any excuse to get more invested into this market, kind of regardless of what the headline is. You know, we've also witnessed the dollar strengthening on this more hawkish than expected stance from the new incoming chair, Warsh of the Fed, signaling this potential for a rate hike in the months ahead. You know, but this may be more jawbone than actual action, especially during this period leading up to the midterm elections in the fall here in the U.S. So no doubt this has impacted gold specifically near term, if not other asset classes as well. But I'm sure we'll get into that. You know, in terms of the asset class matrix this month, you can see here a little bit of change. You still find U.S. equities net positive. Slightly in our combined outlook, developed Asia, specifically Japan, moving up actually a little bit even more positive than where it was just a month ago. And commodities still positive like the U.S., not fully neutral or mixed, but just a little bit positive here as we enter this kind of oddball period of not really knowing what the ceasefire and the Strait situation is.
Right, exactly. Very uncertain time. So. All right, let's start to dig in greater detail, begin with U.S. equities. And what is our model research telling us about the U.S. equities here at the midway point of the year?
Yeah, well, we maintain a slightly favorable outlook for U.S. equities, as I just mentioned. Clearly, the threat of an escalating and continued conflict in the Middle East remains, and longer delayed with this truce broken. Even before this fragile ceasefire was in place, you know, we saw some traffic resuming through the Strait. It wasn't much. Though it was already on the decline even before the ceasefire was broken, as we see here with the declining trickle of traffic shown here on the bottom right. You know, we still observe excessive overvaluation in U.S. large cap equities, but we also see AI-focused firms continuing to deliver strong earnings growth and a solid outlook in an environment alongside this positive investor psychology that we measure, as well as tightening credit spreads. You know, a breakout over that market high that we saw on June 2nd, that peak price, that could usher in this new round of momentum and excitement to bring even greater highs. But now with the ceasefire broken, it, you know, just isn't clear that we'll get there. So, you know, taken all together, it's a neutral or mixed kind of outlook, but slightly positive net overall view.
All right, great. All right, so now let's look to Asia and Japanese equities, which we've been favorably attractive vis-a-vis the model for a while, and they've done quite well in the first 6 months of this year. So What are we seeing now with Japanese equities?
Yeah, well, the research remains constructive on the outlook for Japanese equities. You know, the initial ceasefire brought a decline in oil prices that is particularly, you know, beneficial to the Japanese economy, as Japan is heavily dependent on oil imports from the Persian Gulf region, which largely travel through the Strait of Hormuz. We've also seen a gradual normalization of interest rate policy in Japan, along with this deeply undervalued currency on a purchasing power parity basis, both of which support Japanese equities. You know, that said, you know, a note of caution, perhaps, we've also seen a record number of bankruptcies. As you can see here, 45 in the first half of 2026 alone. This is the highest since tracking started for this type of thing in 2022. You know, and all of this related to the weak yen. Japanese importers are hit hardest from the weakening currency. That's it. The other side of the coin is that Japanese exporters are really hugely benefiting from this weakness in their currency. You know, we've also seen the new prime minister, Sanae Takaichi's plans to expand public and private investment around $2.3 trillion, as you can see here, focusing on sectors that they believe have a competitive edge. And, you know, we've also seen investor sentiment and market momentum remaining positive. Also seen here, you see strong fiscal tax revenues, and that should bode well for their future plans to carry out the prime minister's plans. So, you know, taken all together, we have this, you know, we have increased our positive outlook a bit further here for Japanese equities.
All right. Seems like a lot of positives in terms of Japanese equities. So let's shift away from equities now and go out to the bond market and the U.S. Treasury market, where the 7 to 10 year U.S. Treasury, I think, is negative year to date. Not dramatically so, but certainly hasn't had a strong year. So what's going on in the rates market at this point?
Yeah, well, market participants do not seem concerned about the rise in the latest headline CPI reading, you know, 4.2%. You know, the Fed does remain in that tough spot with regard to having a dual mandate of full employment and price stability. You know, inflation may subside on its own, given the recent slide in oil prices and leaving the Fed to potentially, you know, take no action near term, though we'll need to be reevaluating this regularly now with the ceasefire abandoned. You know, market participants believe a hike is in the cards, which has elevated the short-term rate. The longer-term 10-year remains anchored around that 4.5% range. So we continue to favor, you know, shorter-term, high-quality issues with fixed income.
All right, great. All right, we'll turn our attention now to the real asset market, gold, commodities, the non-financial assets. And start with gold, which has certainly come under some selling pressure here. But I do remember it wasn't that long ago at the beginning of the year when gold just took off like a rocket. So what is the model telling us in terms of the last 6 months of 2026 for gold?
Yeah, well, we maintain, as we've said for some time, we maintain this longer term favorable outlook for gold. And that's based upon declining real yields, that is inflation-adjusted treasury yields, accelerating U.S. debt, the rising interest burden, you know, to service this debt, and the steps the Treasury and the Fed may take to inflate their way out of this debt burden. Mm-hmm. You know, countries, whether formerly friend or foe, continue to diversify away from U.S. dollar and dollar-based assets. Just take a look here at the recent headlines coming out of China. The People's Bank of China added 480,000 ounces of gold to its reserves just in June. That's the largest monthly purchase since October 2023. And this extends their buying streak to 20 consecutive months. You know, so taking this all together, this is likely to result in, you know, longer term dollar weakness. And that's likely to benefit gold. Also worth noting that this is seasonally a very strong time for gold to shine. You know, in this chart here, you can see the average price gains of gold during the calendar year from 1996 through 2025. And July through September is just seasonally a strong period following what we sort of witnessed this year, which was a brief period of consolidation following that meteoric rise. So, you know, while it's been in this consolidation pattern, you know, should the Federal Reserve not hike rates as is currently anticipated by market participants and instead hold rates steady, gold may see a rebound and continue this seasonal trend upward.
All right, terrific. So last, let's look at commodities, where, you know, the increase in the price of oil and gas, as well as other commodities during this, the whole Strait of Hormuz episode, that was pretty dramatic. Then, as you said, with the ceasefire, they come back down. Now it looks like that could be in jeopardy. So it's kind of potential to ping pong back and forth. So what is the model indicating in terms of commodities?
Yeah, well, you know, while commodities do play a role as this hedge against inflation and geopolitical risk and currency debasement, right, over the longer term, the recent de-escalation between the U.S. and Iran led to oil prices, you know, declining dramatically. And the near-term risk-reward trade-off has become less compelling as a result of that. You know, additionally, investor psychology measures that we have and market momentum in commodity markets have declined since that de-escalation and that partial reopening of the strait. But we've no doubt seen a re-escalation of the conflict. And for this reason, we continue to maintain a small positive outlook should the next phase of the conflict escalate even further from here.
All right. Excellent. Eric, thank you for that update. Just to summarize, for many reasons, Japanese stocks remain favorable, even more favorable than the prior month. U.S. equities, as you said, marginally positive, maybe close to an inflection point, either up or down. Commodities, I guess we'll say, are slightly a little bit more positive, maybe a half step based on the fact that there's just uncertainty as to what's going to transpire in the Gulf, in the Middle East, and the impact that could have on shipping. And gold, positive long term, but still could see pressure in the short term. So that is a wrap for Eric and me for today and this edition of the Three Edge View from the Edge. If you'd like to see a copy of the hard copy newsletter, the full View from the Edge newsletter for this month, you can go to our website, 3edgeam.com. And our entire library of videos is always available on our 3Edge YouTube channel. And if you appreciate the videos and enjoy them, please feel free to subscribe to our 3Edge YouTube channel. We would be most appreciative. So, on behalf of Eric and everyone here at 3Edge, thanks for listening.
This commentary is intended for information purposes only and does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy securities. The opinions expressed in View from the Edge are those of Mr. Foltz and Mr. Beagleisen and are subject to change without notice in reaction to shifting market conditions. This commentary is not intended to provide personal investment advice and does not take into account the unique investment objectives and financial situation of the listener. Investors should only seek investment advice from their financial advisor. The observations include information from sources that 3Edge believes to be reliable, but the accuracy of such information cannot be guaranteed. Investments, including common stocks, fixed income, commodities, and ETFs, all involve a risk of loss that investors should be prepared to bear.